Margaret Cho.
Thank you very much for joining us here at Lawrence.com. You're on what your website described as a sort of workshop tour. Should we take that to mean that we're going to be your guinea pigs?
Well, I guess so, but it's also, like, I know, too, that a lot of it is a good show. I mean, it's just a lot of different things, a lot of new things, a lot of things that I haven't done for a long time. It's an opportunity for me to kind of just try out things. And so it's not really like guinea pig sounds
no,
bad.
Yeah,
it sounds really...
Not that I care if we are your guinea pigs.
Yeah, which is okay.
Hell, you could shave us and shoot us up Richard Gere's ass for all I care.
Okay.
what sort of material might we expect at this show?
Doing a lot of different things. Like, it's done some new things about my family, about my mom, about kind of our history, doing some things about sexuality, doing things about politics, the news, everything. Things that I've talked about before and new things, too.
We're, of course, very thrilled and very appreciative that you are coming to Kansas. Considering how politically active you are, however, I am curious as to why you've chosen to enter the Republican heart of darkness. This is Fred Phelps in anti-evolution territory, after all. Why brave the potentially hostile terrain?
Well, it's important to go places where there, you know, are different opinions, and that, you know, there are different things that need to be expressed. And I think that when I go to places that are a little bit more conservative, it's a really welcoming and excited, thrilled audience because they're so happy to have a new perspective, a different perspective, and so I think it's really a great thing.
Yeah, and again, we're definitely looking forward to it. But speaking of assholes like Fred Phelps, Mark Foley, you must be having a field day with this story. It seems to be the nexus of sexual politics and Republican hypocrisy that are seemingly themes of yours. What's your take on the Mark Foley scandal?
Well, it's really clear that they're trying to make him out. So I think conservatives are trying to talk about how he is a representative of the gay community, and this is, like, so not the case. He's not a representative of the gay community at all. He represents gay people as much as John Mark Carr represents straight people. You know, it's like a totally ridiculous assumption that he would. And so, I mean, it's interesting. I mean, it's the weird thing about it is that it is one thing that is going to take the Republicans down, and it's actually very dumb that voters would be put off by this kind of scandal, but it is certainly a sense of where homophobia kind of works in the favor of liberals, in that people are going to vote Democrat just because of the weird, like, gay scandal. So
there's one of them in their midst. Right. But on the topic of politics, you were disinvited from a fundraiser at the 2004 Democratic National Convention. How does it feel to be the slender Asian female version of Michael Moore?
Oh, it's great. I'm loving that. I think it's really cool. I mean, it's not fun to be disinvited, but it is nice to be kind of controversial, which is a cool thing.
Mm-hmm. Have you made nice with the Democratic Party since then?
Yes, absolutely. And it's certainly something that I could see. Everybody was very nervous about the way that they were going to be represented. And you know, unfortunately, they don't see like that this party should include all these different voices. And so, but I think that Democrats have lately gotten a lot more backbone, and they've gotten a lot stronger and a lot more, I think, just convinced that they're right and that they're going to go for it, so it's better.
On the topic of Democrats, and we are, of course, in a very heated election season right now, what is your take on the current electoral landscape?
Well, it's weird because it's like the midterm elections, and, you know, it's like kind of what happens here is it's going to be interesting. I think that conservatives are really kind of, they're losing so much ground, and that's really exciting to see because there's so much of the stuff about the Iraq War and so many problems and a real sense of disillusionment with the Bush administration. So hopefully we'll see how things go. I'd love to see, I know it's kind of weird like now, but I'd love to see what happened in 2008, which is an exciting time. You know, we're talking about Barack Obama or Hillary Clinton. You know, these are really exciting candidates to me. So I'm just looking forward to preparing for finally, like, handing it over to the Democrats again.
Yeah. You mentioned Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton. Have you laid stake in any particular candidate yet for 2008?
Not yet. I really like both of them, so we'll see.
Mm-hmm. Switching gears a little bit. You were named the second worst comedian of 2006 by Maxim magazine, right behind Sinbad. And it just seems to me that's got to be a badge of honor for you, right?
Well, I think that's really great. I mean, I should have been first, but since they're very sexist, so they first had to be a man. I mean, I you know, it's the most racist, sexist view of what things are and what things are about, and so I take it as a great compliment.
Yeah. I've always considered Maxim to be a magazine for date rapists who are too chicken shit to buy real porn.
I know.
And if you're pissing off those people, you got to be doing something right.
Something right. A lot of things right.
But aside from stand-up, you have a lot of different projects, including Burlesque.
Yes.
What is The Sensuous Woman, and can we expect to see any of it at your performance here in Lawrence?
Well, that won't be at my performance there in Lawrence, but it will be, it'll kind of be kind of coming out eventually, here and there. We'll see how, it goes. I'm working on the show. It's a burlesque show. It's comedy. It's music. It's dance. It's a lot of fun, and, it's a big collaborative effort, and so I'm actually working on that right now and bringing it all together. So I really love that project, and,
you plan on taking it on the road?
Yes, eventually.
Great. This stems from your interest in belly dancing, right?
Yes.
And
I've been a dancer for a few years now, so it's a wonderful thing, and I really love it, and I'm really enjoying hanging out with dancers and doing this. It's fun.
Great. And you do some of the burlesque yourself, right?
Yes.
Oh, awesome. A lot of your material is dealt with your body and body image, and The Sensuous Woman seems to be an outgrowth of that. Do you still struggle with your body image?
No. I mean, I have a very different view of it nowadays. I mean, I've really changed a lot of my opinions about all that, you know, and I think it's important for people to do that, to get to that point where you have a real sense of acceptance of yourself, and it's a really freeing place to be in. So I'm trying to encourage people to be there, come there, and through my work I do, you know, kind of show by example of being there. It's a great thing, so I'm hoping to share that with others.
Some of your other projects, aside from The Sensuous Woman, you've written and starred in a film called Bam Bam and Celeste. Talk a little bit about that project and when people in Kansas might be able to see it.
Well, it's a comedy. It'll be coming out in theaters and after that in DVD on in March of next year. Yeah. And it's a comedy that I made, and it's really funny, and it's really sweet. It's about two really geeky, very gay kids who like leave their little hometown to go to New York to be on a reality television show, and so it's quite timely, and it's a lot of fun, so that'll be out next year.
It's a buddy road comedy, right?
Yes.
And speaking of film in Kansas, you've collaborated with Kansas filmmaker Steve Balderson, haven't you? On a project called Phone Sex?
Oh yeah, just very, very quickly, I just had people call in and say, what is sexy, and just did that. So I did that for him. He's a great guy. He's a great filmmaker, and I really like his work a lot.
Continuing with your film career, you were in Face Off with John Travolta and Nicolas Cage. Did you experience any creepy Scientology stuff while you were on the set?
No, he doesn't actually. John Travolta does not really talk about his religion at all. I never heard him mention it. I worked on that film for a year, too, so I saw quite a bit of him and spent a lot of time with him, and he never mentioned it, which is, I don't know, I guess his own way of doing it. I don't really know anything about it, but he didn't talk about it at all.
Very un-Cruise-like of him.
No, he's totally the opposite.
Nah. What do you think of the fact that Travolta is now appearing in drag for the Hairspray movie?
I think it's wonderful. I think it's great. I think he's a great actor, and it's this wonderful icon. You know, he's a really cool movie star, and I always really loved him, and I think he's a wonderful guy.
Playing 6 degrees here, but Travolta collaborated with Quentin Tarantino, and you and Quentin Tarantino were best buds back in the 90s. Mm-hmm. Did you ever read Jane Hampshire's book, Killer Instinct?
No.
Are you familiar with Jane Hampshire? She has the Fire Dog Lake blog out right now. But she was the producer on Natural Born Killers before she entered politics, and she wrote this book called Killer Instinct about her experience working with Quentin. And her portrayal of him in the book is as a passive-aggressive sex fiend. And I was wondering if that's at all accurate in your dealings with him.
I don't think so. I think he's a very gentle, very kind person, and very funny, and really smart, and really gifted. And I don't know. I don't have that sense of him, but I have no idea.
I've just always been curious about that, because it seemed in Killer Instinct that it was just so out there. It was a very harsh portrayal of him in the book, of him and Oliver Stone and most of the people she worked with on that film. I've always been curious if that was indeed what he's actually like. You know, as we've mentioned, you are an outspoken critic of the Bush administration, and you're a hero, an icon in the gay community. Do you consider yourself a comedian who does political material, or do you consider yourself a political activist who happens to do comedy?
I think they're both very separate. I look at my career as being a comedian who does political material, and then my activism, that sort of, it's a little bit different, but to me, I take that almost like in a separate section of my life, and is equally important, but a totally different life, too.
What would you consider your role to be in the comedy world? What is the sort of, how would you define yourself?
I don't know. I think I'm like the mom, because I've been around for a very long time, and so I know so many comedians, and I'm very nurturing towards them, and I'm always kind of around. Like, I still hang out, like, doing open mics and stuff, and I'm still around, and I give a lot of encouragement and a lot of, maybe not advice, but a lot of, just kind of words of comfort, and I try to be helpful. It's a hard business for people, and so, you know, I try to do what I can to nurture them, and I really think that it's important to kind of build up the next generation and be there for them, and you learn a lot too. So it's helped me be really able to write a lot and to stay focused and to be thinking about new ideas and be encouraged by new people, and so I'm really happy about that role that I have.
And who do you admire today that is in the comedy biz?
I really admire this guy named Ian Harvey. He's a transgender comedian. He was a woman, now he's a man. And there's no other comedian like that. It's, like, amazing. That's the only person, only transgender person on the scene, like, in the mainstream comedy club scene, like, working, like, Funny Bones and all these, like, comedy connections and stuff. And that's incredible. And so I'm really into him. I'm really inspired by him. But I'm a fan of a lot of different people.
Who are some of the comedians that have influenced you while you were up and coming in the comedy world?
Probably Roseanne Barr a lot. Brett Butler a lot. Huge influence. Brett Butler was huge influence. Bill Hicks is huge influence. Rosie O'Donnell, very big deal for me. So there's a lot of people. Chris Rock is another one. Then people that are sort of in my peer group, in a sense, that came up in the same time as me, but I still admire them a lot, are people like David Cross or Dave Chappelle or Wanda Sykes. They're all really so heroic and so funny and so inspiring.
Here at Lawrence.com, we have a regular feature in which we ask notables. What are you reading right now?
What am I reading? I'm reading a book called Plagues and People. And it's all about how different plagues, you know, different, like, diseases and things, these outbreaks of diseases, shape society. And it was written before AIDS, and then, so now they just added a new edition after AIDS. But it's the latest sort of plague that's down upon us, and it's a very interesting book, like history, but science also, a little bit of science bit, and a little bit of medicine, but a lot of just cultural history, which is probably my favorite stuff to read.
What is a book that you would recommend that everyone read?
I think that probably everybody should read Cunt by Inga Musio. Very important book. Very important book on feminism. Very important book on women and culture and queer culture. And one of my favorite books of all time.
Very good. And what are three TV shows that you're addicted to?
I love Project Runway.
Mm-hmm.
I love Flavor of Love. And I love Lost, although I've only watched the first couple of shows of Lost. Oh, I love The L Word, too. I love Bad Girls. Bad Girls is a show out of England about a women's prison that is the female version of Oz. It is so good and so scary and funny and spooky and awesome. So that's a really great show, too.
Speaking of Project Runway, what did you think about Jeffrey winning season 3?
Jeffrey was my favorite.
I know, that's what I thought. Everybody said that, oh, he didn't deserve to make it to the finals.
No, Jeffrey was really, to me, the designer that had the chops.
Yeah.
And really always did great stuff on the challenges. And
he was the only one that had a distinct vision and a unique vision.
And he's cute, and he's smart, and he's from L.A., and so I have some loyalty because I'm L.A., so... I liked him a lot, and he was always my favorite. I was always wanted to hear what he was going to say, and so...
Well, I did find it interesting that he was the designer that seemed to cry the most throughout the season.
Yes, he cried all the time. He was great.
He's very emotional about his clothes.
Yeah, they're great.
And any words for Laura?
Well, Laura's great in her own way, too. You know, her clothes are not, like, they're not stuff that I would wear, but I can see that how wearable they are and how many people would really like them, you know, how many women would love them, and that's a very distinct style, and I think she's great. I actually personally probably would wear Uli.
Yeah.
I thought she was the most wearable for me, because I totally wear those kinds of dresses all the time, so that's very, very me, but she's this year's college ranks.
The designer you love to hate.
Yeah.
Well, on the topic of lists, what 5 albums are you listening to right now? Or that you would consider your top 5 favorite albums?
Gosh, that's hard. I'd say I just like pulled out my Elvis Costello big box set, so I'm listening to Imperial Bedroom, which is like his greatest record. Another record that I love is Lloyd Cole's Don't Get Weird on Me, Babe. It's such a great pop album, and it's so good. I also love the new Monsieur Gainsbourg, which is like a whole record of like covers, Serge Gainsbourg's covers. So there's one by Jarvis Cocker, and there's a great, great one by The Kills. And but I love Serge Gainsbourg, so that's definitely, I think, another entry. I think Serge Gainsbourg and the Ballad of Melody Nelson. That's a great record. And then after that, probably I love the Mickey Avalon record, which is called, I think, Mickey Avalon, and it's really great rap, and it's so hard to describe. He's like a male hustler, but he became a rapper, and his whole take on it is that he's so straight that he can be gay and still be straight. So I just love him. I think he's awesome. I love Regina Spektor, and I love the Dresden Dolls. Actually, I'm opening for the Dresden Dolls this week, so I would say the Dresden Dolls, their first record is amazing, and their second record is awesome, too. Yes, Regina, it's great. So they're awesome.
Margaret Cho, we really appreciate you taking some time out of your day to join us here at Lawrence.com, and much luck with the tour.
Thank you very much.